Let's pray real quick before we get into the Bible tonight. Is that okay? Just bow with me one more time. You know, God, we love you and we thank you. And we just pray that right now, that this moment will be about you and you alone. God, I don't want any thoughts going into my mind that are outside of who you are. And I don't want any words coming out of my mouth that are outside of your truths. God, remove my opinions, remove my thoughts right now, and just let your word just reign. And God, I pray that as a result of tonight, that we will see life reborn in people. And we'll see fire blazing and passion coming forth. God, you say you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but through you. And I pray that tonight you show us the way, that you give us the truth, and God, that you bring us back to life. And so because of that, we're going through you and you alone. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, I know in Sunday mornings we've been on a series on going beyond the wilderness. And I know this is Sunday morning tonight, but we're going to bypass what we're talking about on Sunday mornings to start a new series that we'll be doing on Sunday nights. All right? Okay, so does that make sense? Everybody got it? You with me? All right? The thing is we got a lot of people that are being impacted that are normally here on Sunday mornings. You can look around. That balcony is normally packed. And that are normally here on Sunday mornings unable to be here tonight. I just felt God saying, hold off. And so when he says that, that's what we do. And so as I was coming in, I was like, okay, God, then what do you got? And so I got here a little bit early, and God just kept talking to me about passion. And I want to do this tonight. I want to start a series called Reigniting the Passion Within You. All right, bringing that back. Now let's look at something. There is no music today, no great music, no great art, no great sculptures, no great writings. There's no great books today, no great churches or sermons today that have been born without passion. The greatest things that we have in our lives when it comes to music, when it comes to art, when it comes to the Word of God, are born from someone who has a great passion about what they're doing. All right, have you ever saw someone that hates their job? Anybody ever been around them? Now, how many of you, those are the kind of people you don't stay around long? You know what I mean? It's like, all right, they don't like their job, and if I stay around them much longer, I'm not going to like it either. All right, so I got to get away from them. Why? Because their passion's not there. And if their passion's not there, they'll suck the passion right out of you. Am I right? How many of you have experienced that in life? All right, now here we go. Let's look at something. I like to use this. Let's break down passion and what it is. Passion is what gives you energy. It's what gives you energy in any situation. You know what gets you through your marriage when your marriage is on the rocks? And I'm not talking about the drink version of on the rocks. I'm talking about where you can't stand each other and where you can't look at each other. And everything is, you see the little crusties in the side of his mouth like you've never seen before. And everything's bothering you. And his eyebrow hair is too long. Or you know what I mean? Or her breath is horrible. Those moments of marriage. And I know that you're sitting there saying, that has never happened to me. And I'm going to sit here and say, you're a liar. All right? It has. All right? We've had those moments. You know what gets you through those moments? Passion. It gives you the energy to keep going. To remember what it is you love about them. To remember why it is that you're in that relationship. You know what helps the church grow? Passion. It gives its members energy to be kind to other people. To forgive people and to move beyond. Without passion. Matter of fact, Jude puts it this way. And some have compassion and they make a difference. Can I tell you this? The Bible says that there's one verse that's true. It says, without a vision, people perish. How many of you have heard that before? All right, the truth is your vision is fed by your passion. Nobody ever says, you know what? I want to be a surgeon one day. I'm going to save lives. I'm going to do surgeries that give people heart bypasses and all these other things. I'm going to keep someone's dad on the earth a little bit longer. Nobody ever has that passion if they can't stand the sight of blood. They just don't. They don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a surgeon, but I'm going to pass out as soon as I cut him open. It's not going to happen. You know why? Because it's not within them. It's not something that's burning in them. It's not something that's going to drive them. But there are some people who love the gross things of life. All right? How many of you are those people? Anybody like that? You know, you're the one that if you see roadkill, you pull over to see what it was. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, the buzzard's pulling something out and you park and watch the show. You know, I'm the one that's like, okay, if a buzzard's pulling something out, I'm going to run the buzzard over too, or this is going to get bad. You know, I can't handle that. It's not within me to do that job. And if I were to make myself, if I were to say, well, you know what? Surgeons get paid good money. You know, I've never seen a surgeon driving my car. They always have a nicer one, you know? And I've never seen them living in my house. They have a nicer one. If I were to say, well, you know, that money, wow, I really would like to live that lifestyle. So I'm going to become a surgeon. You know what? I would last one day. One day. And I would give up. You know why? There's no passion. All right, can I tell you this? You know why the churches around this world are dying? Is there's no passion. The Bible says that they have left their first love. They have backed away from who God is. They've backed away from what drives them and what keeps them going. And can I tell you why a lot of marriages have fallen apart? They've lost their passion. You know why we're giving up on our teenagers, giving up on our children? We've lost our passion for generations. You know, and I'm going to tell you this. I believe as a church, we need to get back to the passionate side of serving Jesus Christ. The passionate side of ministry. You agree with me tonight? Let's look at that. If you don't agree with me, I'm going to bring you on to my side. We're going to bring you on to this side. Get off the dark side. May the force be with you. All right, here we go. All right. Something you need to understand is this. It's passion that make us mobilize armies to go defend nations. All right? It's passion for something that makes us explore areas, you know, these explorers, these spelunkers and people, you know. You ever been to Ruby Falls? Anybody ever done that? And the first thing they say is, someone dug down this far, all right, climbed down this far, and then all of a sudden they saw a little opening, and they decided to go see where that left them, and it was like maybe like a 12-inch opening, and they contorted their body through it. Every time I hear that speech, I think, they were dumb. They were so dumb. What if they got stuck? I mean, this doesn't go through 12 inches. You know what I mean? What if they would have got stuck? Nobody would have even known they were there. But they found this wonderful underground waterfall, all right? And now it's a beautiful attraction in the city of Chattanooga. You know, they had passion. They have that passion to explore and go where no man has ever gone before. That's where we got Star Trek, all right? But the thing is, you know, it's passion that drives them. It's passion that makes that scientist, wherever he or she is tonight, stay up and miss a night of sleep, trying to find the cure to a disease that maybe one of their loved ones has died from. Maybe somebody that they knew was affected by. You know, how many of you have ever been on the cancer walk or anything like that? Relay for Life. Anybody ever done that? You know, your passion drove you there. You know, they line that track with bags with names on it of people that have died. You know, it is so sad that you walk those miles because every mile you walk raises money in hopes that someone won't go through what your loved one went through. And hope that they can find a cure. You know what that is? That's passion. Can I tell you this? God calls for us to be passionate. Someone walked up to Jesus one day and they said, Jesus, what is the greatest thing we can do? What is the greatest thing we can do with our lives? Look at Matthew chapter number 22, verse number 37. This is what he said. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It says passionately, mentally, physically, emotionally. Give everything you got. That means all in. Now here's the things that God asks you to be passionate about. He says, hey, I want you to passionately seek me. I want you to passionately trust me. I want you passionately to obey me. And I want you passionately to serve me. And I want you passionately to love me. What is God asking for me to do? He's saying, don't half-hearted do anything that I'm asking you to do. He said, don't be a wimpy person when it comes to our relationship. Don't wimp out on the status of our relationship. Be bold about it. Matter of fact, Colossians says it this way. Read it with me if you would real quick. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 23, it reads like this. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. The NIV says this. Hey, work wholeheartedly. Give your whole heart to it. You know, I'm going to tell you this. This church is built on passion. If you're here and you don't have passion, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to get uncomfortable. Because we're built on passion. Passion for number one, to let God be in complete control and nobody else. Passion for number two, to love other people with everything that we have. Why? Because those are the two greatest things you can ever accomplish in life. To love God and give Him control, and to love others as you love yourself. And then what the Bible says in Luke, when Jesus, He answered this again. You know, I want you to look at something tonight, and I want you to write down and take some notes, okay? And here's the problem with this. The problem is, it's easy to get excited about loving something. The problem is, in our country, in America, now let's take the rest of the world out of it. You are taught, and we are trained to be passionate about everything else except your faith. Get excited about anything except what you believe about God. Keep that to yourself. Matter of fact, I put in a search on Amazon and on other things just to see what would come up. And I put in, I want Passion 4, and just left it blank. And on Amazon, I came up with all kinds of different books, all right? Some of them, I'm not going to read the titles because they're inappropriate, all right? I'm not going to suggest that you allow your kids to do that, all right? But the thing is I got like 100 books on, I want Passion for Birds. And I want Passion for you know, the atmosphere in the world. You know why? I went down, I think I counted 58 different titles. And in that top 58, before I gave up on looking, not one of them said, I want passion for God. Not one. We are taught in our country this kind of mentality, right? If I go to a game, or if I go to a concert, and I yell and scream until my voice goes sour, and I go coarse, and I lose my voice, if I jump up and down, and if I celebrate a touchdown, or I do this, or if I cry when my team loses, or if I cry when the emotional song comes on, people look at me, and they'll make this judgment. They'll say, well, that's a true fan. That's a true fan. They're deep, they're rooted. You know, Roll Tide, they'll say that. All right? I know, many of you, I just want that to sink in. But if I come to church and behave that same way, if I jump up and down, if I shout until my voice is hoarse, if I celebrate who my God is, or if I cry because my God's moving me, I get labeled a fanatic. I get told I'm crazy. I get told I'm over the top. You understand what I'm saying today? People don't care if you have passion as long as you don't have passion for God. Why is it that God is the only thing the world doesn't want you passionate about? You know what? I tell people all the time, I don't need the Bible to prove that God exists. I can use the hate of the world to prove that God exists. Because no one else on the face of the planet is as hated as God. Why? Because we hate things that are bigger than us. We hate things that are better than us. We hate people who can achieve more than us. And why is it that God's attacked? You don't hear near as much about Buddha as you do God. You don't hear near as much attack against him. You know why? Because he must be real. He must be true. Why? Because things that don't exist don't bother you. Do you understand? All right? You know, none of you tonight, if you don't have cancer, are worried about dying with cancer. Unless I just said it and made you start thinking about it. Nobody in here tonight, if you're not having chest pains, is worried about a heart attack. Unless now you're thinking about it. You know, you didn't come in. But the pains start existing, you're going to worry about it. You have been sitting there watching your favorite show and trying to decipher if it's heartburn or something else. You know, you're starting to, you're flapping your arm like a chicken just to see if your left arm's hurting. How many of you done it? All right, you know what I mean? You're saying, am I going numb? Somebody pinch me. Somebody hit me. You've done it. I know you have, all right? The thing is, man, you start freaking out because something's bothering you. You know why the world's freaking out about God? Because the idea of God bothers them. But the truth is they have a misconception of who God is. They don't understand that God is everything they need. That God is the love that they've never experienced. That God is the hope that they didn't know existed. That God is the peace that the world can't bring. You know, Satan is a deceiver, and that's all he is. And all he's done is try to pervert the image of God to a lost and dying world. And here's the problem. He uses the alive church to do it. You know, I've seen people in church be very passionate about the wrong things. Have you seen it too? I've seen people so passionate about the carpet. You know, so passionate about the walls. You know, it's kind of like, I sometimes wonder in some of the churches I've been, do they stay there 24/7? Do they sleep there? Do they like rub the carpet until they fall asleep? I mean, it's extreme what they get all bent out of shape about. But you know what? Most of those churches, I don't see the passion that they need to have for the lost souls of mankind. And I don't see the passion that they need to have for God. And can I tell you this? Passion is so easily got and caught, but it is also easily lost. And we're going to talk to you tonight and over the next few weeks about things that you've got to be aware of that are passion killers. All right? So I want you to take note of that. Look at Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. I'm not going to stay on this verse long because this is the theme of one of our conferences coming up. And it says, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. You know what this verse tells me about being passionate? It is a choice. It is not something that is easily done by your nature. Being passionate about God does not go with your sinful nature. Have you noticed that? How many of you have ever had this argument with yourself? There's something that you want to do that you know it's wrong to do, and so you try to justify why you should be able to do it. Anybody ever done that? All right? And the thing is that it has to be a choice that you make daily. To say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day I'm going to serve God. This is the day that God gets that. Everything in life conspires to keep you from being passionate about God. You got to wake up every day and say, this is the day I choose that my passion is going to be about Him and Him alone. Unfortunately, we've got this kind of mentality. I told somebody in my office last week, the passion in Christians is the equivalent of helium in a balloon. It's easy to get them excited and to get them filled up and ready to go. And they fly as high as the sky for a day at the most. And by Monday, the helium's gone and the balloon's back down on the ground. And that's how a lot of Christians worship. They come to church Sunday and they're all about Jesus for Sunday. And then come back to reality and there's no Jesus to be found in them. Now, how many of you have been guilty of that? Can we just be honest? All right. How many of you have been to a church service where you hear God calling your name? You wonder how He found your name. You wonder how He knew you needed it. And everything about that service was God revealing things to you. And you walk out thinking, here we go. I have found the answers. Only to get home and have the problem right in your face again. You know what I'm talking about? See, we don't need helium-filled Christians. We don't need the emotional Christian. Now, here's the thing. Your love for God should make you emotional. But your emotions should not fuel your love for God. Now understand that. The way God is in your life should make you at sometimes feel like you're on top of the world and ready to praise. And it should make you sometimes feel like, man, I am nothing and thank God He loves me anyway. It should fuel that passion, but it should not be what determines your God. If you're using your emotions to determine who God is, then most of the time, 98% of the time, you're going to hate God. Because you're not going to understand everything that's happening in your life. And you're not going to know why the things are going the way they're going. And you're not going to be able to figure out who God is. And that's why we let God dictate the way we feel instead of letting the way we feel dictate who God is. Does that make sense? So here's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at seven things. Not all tonight. All right? So take your deep breath and say, thank God. All right? Not all tonight. We're going to look at seven things that you've got to be aware of. Seven things that you've got to look out for. Seven things that if you're not careful will steal the passion right out of your life. That will rob you of what God's going to do. Look at this verse, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 6. This is why I remind you. I like how Paul says this. To fan the flames, all right? Fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. In other words, it's like this. God gave you a spiritual gift. It is your job to keep it burning. It is your God to keep it. It's your job to keep it going. God will start a fire. It's the church's job to keep it blazing. Now, I like how Paul, when the ship wrecked and he was a prisoner and everybody else is complaining on the seashore and they're all soaking wet and freezing cold, the Bible says that Paul was picking up sticks. Why? He was making a fire. He was keeping it hot. And guess what happened? While he's picking up those sticks, a venomous snake, the Bible says, struck him on the hand. And all the people watching saying, oh, he must have done something terrible. Because look, he survived the shipwreck to die from a poisonous snake. And I love what Paul did. The Bible says that Paul took the snake over to the fire and he shook him off. And then they're all saying, who is this? What kind of guy is this? You know what? I'm going to tell you this. There's awesome things, a wonderful study for you. And I told you this a couple Sunday mornings ago, which is about 2 months. I told you, hey, listen, you need to do a study on when God plays with fire. You need to do a study on what God does through the flames. Number one, God uses flames to tear apart the sins of man. He burns them up. God also uses flames to burn up the causer, the deceiver. Satan's going into flames. God is a fire that will never be consumed. It is your job and my job to keep that fire burning in our hearts. All right? Can I tell you, it would have been so easy for us tonight just to cancel service all day. It would have been. And I even contemplated how nice it'd be to have another day off. Anybody else contemplate that that's here tonight? Just to kind of kick around, watch some movies. Finally took down one of the Christmas trees. I got three more to go. Yeah. But then I got to thinking, you know what? We had to cancel Wednesday. We had to cancel Sunday morning. If we can get to church today, let's get to church today because I need that fire to be a little bit fanned for me. Anybody else like that? I can't sit around the house too long. I get crazy when I'm around the house. You know, Lincoln had a terrible day. Right? We put him down for a nap. You see Facebook? He yanks off his diaper and poops all over the floor. And then decides to try to make artwork. I don't know what he was doing. Jordan opens the door and she says, "Josh, come here." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I'm running. I'm jumping over. I come around the door. I'm like, bah!" You know, it's like, why did I need that? Lincoln's standing there crying and I'm saying, "He's going to get pink eye. He's going to get pink eye." Jordan's laughing as me and him are both freaking out. He's crying. I'm crying. You know, I was like, thank God there's church tonight, you know? The truth is, listen, we're going to look at this first thing. And it ties right into what we were just talking about. The number one reason people burn out and lose their passion is they do not live a balanced life. They don't. Now you might be asking, what do you mean by balance? I'm glad you asked. Let's look. All right? I want you to take a verse, if you would, in Psalms chapter 127. You see, I believe in life, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, and we're not going there tonight, that in everything in life there is a season. How many of you have read that before? All right? Which means there is a certain rhythm to life. In other words, it's like this. You need both work and rest. How many of you agree with that? All right? You also need both output and input. How many of you believe with that? You need things coming in and you need things going out. Look at this verse. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to the ones He loves. That's a good verse for your refrigerator. All right. In other words, God did not make you to work all the time. And I'm not saying that's a good one for your refrigerator door because you're working it all the time. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's one for you to remember. God does not intend for you to be on the go 24/7. All right? And if you're like, well, man, I'm proven that I'm a hard worker because I work from sun up to sundown. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to burn out. That's what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to do it. You know what I love about the snow in Tennessee? It's almost like God shuts us down. How many of you have literally been shut down? There is nothing you can do about it this week. You know what I mean? Except for maybe go sledding or go make a snowball. You know, the thing is I believe in our lives, sometimes God shuts us down like He did for Elijah and other people to give us rest, to give us a break. You need both. And the Bible's saying, hey, God gives rest to the ones He loves, meaning you need a balance in life. But I want to show you this. Some of you, maybe half in a size this big, okay? Some of you are the people that are always giving. All right? You always give advice. You always are there to help. You're always willing to get up and go. And if we were to call you and say, hey, we need help making a decision, you'd be all over it. And if we were to say, hey, I need help cleaning up church afterwards, you'd be here. You'd stick around. If we needed to stack the chairs, you'd be there. That's who you are. And God bless you. But I've learned this. If all you do is give and you never take time to get, then you will give out at some point. You will reach your limit. You will reach what we call that compassion fatigue, to where you get to the place that you don't care about God anymore, you don't care about people anymore, and you don't care about anything. Now, how many of you say, with your eyes closed, real quick, all right? You say, I am by nature a giver. All right? How many of you would say, okay, I'm by nature a giver? Yes, you've already answered that. Going along with that same question, how many of you say, and by nature, I've naturally worn myself out at times in different situations? Here's the thing. That is not godly. Will you look at me? That is not godly. Now, I did a whole series on why you need rest about a year ago. You say, well, that's a weird thing to preach in church. You know, some people took me seriously. They slept through the whole series. You know what I mean? You know, but some points in your life, you're going to need rest. You're going to need a break. You know, I always say this. You need a babysitter every now and then, and you need to get away from your kids. Anybody say amen to that? Amen. All right. Kids, you need your parents to get out of the house sometimes. Am I right? You say amen to that if that's the case. Yeah, they're not brave enough. They don't want to get grounded. All right. I figured that'd be the case. But the truth is every now and then, we need to get away. I'm going to say that half of us in this place work too much, and half of us in this place need to work a little bit more. All right? Now you say, ooh, who's that half? All right, now listen. We're not here to point fingers, and we're not here to judge, all right? If you're listening on the internet, we're not here to say that this is you. Nobody is in mind when we think about this. We don't sit here and try to categorize who's doing what. Because the truth is, only you know. Only you know how you're serving God today. All right? Only you know if you're serving God to the best of your abilities. Only you know if you're using your talents that God has given you to reach somebody else. Only you know. Nobody else knows. Some of you, it can appear to the rest of the world that you're serving God with everything you got just because they're not serving God. And you might think, well, man, I'm so good. And the way that they see it, it's because you're at church Sunday. Can I tell you this? That does not mean you're doing everything you need to do. God is so much bigger than a church building. God is so much bigger than one service. God should be in every part of every day that you live in this world. God should be with you everywhere. Matter of fact, He is. You should just acknowledge it. Does that make sense? But some of us, man, we give. We're constantly giving, but some of us are the opposite. Some of us constantly take in. Now here's the thing. There are some of you that are here tonight that you go to Bible studies. That you listen to preachers on the radio. You listen to our pod beam. You listen to other pod beams. You listen to podcasts. You go to every workshop. You go to every men's retreat, every women's retreat. You go everywhere that you can possibly go and you soak in the things of God. You're learning and learning and learning, but you're never using it in ministry. Can I tell you this? I am not as interested in what you know as I am as interested in seeing you use what you know to help somebody else. You know what service is? Service is taking what you've learned and sharing it with others so that they don't have to learn the way you had to learn. All right? That they don't have to go through the things that you've been through. That they don't have to fight the battles that you fought. We sit there and we can see. Some of you can see in someone else's marriage the dangerous trend that they're setting. And you sit there and you know exactly what you need to say. Why? Because you and your spouse did it too. And you sit there and you're like, man, if they don't get stopped, they're going to ruin themselves. And yet you sit quiet and you say nothing. Can I tell you this? The Bible says, warn those who are being lazy. So take this as your warning. Get busy. Don't let a marriage be destroyed because you're not willing to share what God has given you. There are some of you that God bless you. You're sharing all the time. Sit down and take a break. Now, I'm not saying take a year, take a week, take a day. But I am saying for once, if you're the Sunday school teacher that teaches every Sunday, let somebody else teach your class and sit and listen. If you're the preacher that preaches every Sunday, every now and then sit down and let somebody else preach to you. If you're the one that's always out there at the door greeting every person, then one day come in 5 minutes late and let somebody greet you. You say, well, Brother Josh, why? Because you deserve it. And God wants you to know that you're loved just as much as you are loving others. And if you don't do it and you're constantly giving, then you'll wonder why God abandoned you. He didn't. David said, my cup runs over. He said, hey, I'm so blessed that I have enough to give. Some of you, your cup is running out because you'll never let it sit down and let God fill it up. Let God fill you up and then let God expand you. And then guess what? You'll do wonderful things for other people. But some of you are sitting there and you're filling up too much. You're holding it in. It's not just in the saucer. It's now on the table. It's running down to the floor. You just keep going and listening and you're getting fatter and fatter and fatter in your spiritual walk. Matter of fact, it's getting so bad that we might have to roll you down the aisle. And that is where we get the term holy roller. It's the people that are not fanatical. It's the people that think they know God and know everything and they pretend to be something they're not, yet they never give back what God has given them. See, we got it all wrong. The holy roller is the one that's all about God all the time and willing to share God. No. No, that's someone who's just holy. The holy roller is the one that's so spiritually out of shape because all they do is know the things of God and they never use the things of God. And I'm going to tell you this, the more you learn about God, the more responsible you are for those things that you have learned. If you don't believe it, look at James chapter number 4, verse number 17. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Amen. Now, how many of you sit here tonight and you don't have to raise your hand, but there is somebody you know you need to help right now. There is something you know you need to say. Your testimony needs to be heard. I said in a meeting with a group of guys this past Thursday night that I'll be ministering with shortly. And they said, hey, when we get to these schools, we get to these universities, you're going to be speaking to 3,000 to 10,000 people in one setting. They said there'll be some days that we'll minister to 50,000 people in one day. And I'm like, oh man, this is exciting. I'm ready to go. And then all of a sudden they said, and all we want you to do is just give your testimony. I was like, okay, I got a question. Is there anything we shouldn't say? And they're like, what do you mean? Anything that would be offensive. And they're like, well, don't talk about this and this. And they were not talking about spiritual things. They're saying, leave your politics out of it. Leave your opinions out of it. Leave everything out of it. Just tell us what God did in your life. I said, hey, God brought me from a very dark place. And if you're going to open up Pandora's box, you're going to see that there's a lot of nasty to my name. And they said, ooh, we can't wait to hear you. And I was like, all right. Because you know why? What I love about the nasty that's to my name, God doesn't remember it. Amen. The Bible says He took those things and He cast them. He washed them as white as snow. And if I can give you any hope today, it's not in the man that I am. It's found in the man that God has made me to be and the grace that God has shared and the mercy that's been given. It's nothing that I've accomplished. It's everything that God has taught me. And if you'll give me your ears, if you'll give me your life, if you'll give me your attention, I will do my best to show you everything that God's shown me. It's been great. Anybody else say, I can do the same? God, show me some grace. But if you've been shown that grace and you're not willing to share that grace and you're living in sin, can I tell you what happens when you live in sin? You don't live in success ever. Sinners never prosper. They never do. You say, well then how? We're all sinners. Hey, but there's a difference. Remember, God's butt showed up in the middle of one of those verses. And it said that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, the difference between sinners and forgiven sinners are sinners live bound by their sin and forgiven sinners live because the chains have been taken off of them and now they know what freedom truly is. Man, we need to set people free in Jesus' name. You believe that? You know what does that? Passion. You say, well, how do I do this? You got to get spiritually fit. You got to get in shape, just like we need to get physically fit in some areas. You got to get spiritually fit. You got to work out. Matter of fact, look at it in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse number 7 says this. Do not waste time over godless ideas or old wives' tales. Instead, train yourselves to be godly. Man, how many of you realize that this Jesus thing takes work? It takes some dedication. It takes some commitment. It takes some balance. You know, I tell people all the time, if you're going to get spiritually fit, if you're going to get in shape, then you do have to at some point find a healthy balance to life. You got your families, your jobs, you got your children, you got your wife, you've got all these things. You've got the church obligations, you've got things you're committing yourself to, basketball practice and football practice, and you got to go to the art class, and you got to take them here and there, and sometimes your day is gone before it even got started. And you've got to find a way to bring that back to a balanced, healthy way of living, and God gives 5 ways to balance your life. Now, I'm going to do a series on these later, so I'm not going to give you the detail of them, but write these down real quick, okay? Number 1, the way to have God's balance in your life is to have time for fellowship with God, both privately and publicly. You need time with God when you're alone, and you need time with God when you're with God's people, all right? How many of you enjoy being around other people? Anybody else? I love it. I do. You know, I'm so glad that it being snowed in, I'm not alone. I still have my wife. And, you know, last night we broke out Candyland. And I know I've never played Candyland, but it's my new favorite game. She beat me like 4 times in a row. It's all by chance, just so you know. Then we played Sorry. We found the retro version of Sorry at Target. We bought it. And she beat me 3 times at that. I didn't win a game last night. But the thing is it's like, it was fun. You know, it was fun. Just sitting there. Now, her trash talk was not, all right? But it was fun. How many of you like being around somebody? But how many of you will agree with me that some of the greatest lessons you've ever learned in life, you learned on your own? Now, I'm not saying somebody didn't teach you, but you learned through your own mistakes. through your own choices and your own decisions. So doesn't it make it clear that you need time when you're just you and God, and you need time when it's just you, God, and everybody else that loves Him? All right? Number two, you need time not only to fellowship with God publicly and privately, you need time to fellowship with other people. You got to have that in your life. You said that gives a healthy balance to life. You better believe it. Being able to laugh with, at, and for other people is a great thing. Number three, you got to have time to read God's Word and to grow as a Christian. Can I tell you this? Any day that you get up and you try to live your life that day without getting in God's Word, you have failed that day. You have missed that day. You know why? Because I promise you, God's Word is so alive that every day He will give you something that will get you through that day. And you say, well, I read a chapter today and it didn't make sense. Well, it might by tomorrow. All right? Something's going to come out. Somebody's going to call you. Can't tell you how many times Pastor Steve's called me and I was like, you know, I read a verse in Proverbs today. You remember that? I was like, write these three things down real quick, Steve. Yeah, don't call me if you don't want a sermon. All right? That's the thing. And so, man, I love it. You know what? God's Word is so much smarter than me. You found that to be true? I love it. Number four, you got to have time for service, ministry. So when you're giving your talents and abilities to help someone else. Now, I love it when our musicians, and I know half of them weren't able to play with us tonight. Our bass guitar player wasn't here and our violinist wasn't here. But man, I love it when they all get up here and they just play. Sometimes in practice, I like to just sit back and listen to them. Matter of fact, we do that sometimes. Just play, you know? I love that they use their gifts to move us. And how many of you would agree with me that those musicians do a phenomenal job at moving us sometimes? Do they not? They're amazing. Yeah, give them a hand. They're wonderful. Let's take it a step further. How many of you think that our custodian does a wonderful job at making this place? You know what I mean? And I wouldn't dare leave out all those ushers and greeters, treasurers, elders, those people that go above and beyond to make you feel loved. The pastors that we have, we're surrounded by a phenomenal group of people, are we not? All right, here's the point. Thank God there are people that are willing to use their abilities. Some of their abilities is just that smile and hug you get. Now, they got more, but they're willing to offer what they can use in the moment. Man, hey, when's the last time you used your abilities to minister to somebody else? If you're not using those abilities, can I tell you what's happening? You're burning out because you're not fulfilling your purpose in life. And then number five, guess what? You got to have time to be involved in missions. Now, missions is when you just let God lead and guide and direct what you're supposed to do. Doesn't require your abilities, doesn't require your money, doesn't require your talent. It just requires total faith in what God is willing to do in your life to help someone else. I'm telling you this. If you don't feel as close to God today as you once felt in your life, then it is safe to say that at some point your life has gotten out of balance. And as a result, you've lost your passion. You've lost your desire. So will you bow your heads and close your eyes and not look around? Steve was joking with me and he said, oh, we might be in trouble. Josh has been cooped up for a week. Yeah, I came up with 7 points God gave me, but only one of them for tonight. Look. Every day you've got to wake up and you've got to say, God, I want to seek you first. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all things will be added to you. Then you got to say, okay, God, I want to seek someone to be in a relationship with today. And I'm not saying you're looking for the love of your life. You're looking for the one that just needs a little bit of hope. Then you got to say, okay, God, what is it that you've given me that I am able to give away? What is it that you blessed me with that I can bless somebody else with? And then you got to say, okay, God, where is it that you want me to go? Lead me, guide me, and walk beside me. If you're not starting your day like that, can I tell you this? You're putting your wrong foot forward. You're getting out of bed on the wrong side. You've got to get a balance in life. Why? Because if passion creates the greatest things of life, to live your life without a passion for God means that your life is merely existing and creating nothing that will be remembered or nothing that will help other people. You know what lives beyond you? The things that you've done in your life that have affected the lives of other people. Now, I want to outlive my life. I want it to be that when I'm dead and gone, that the things that I stood for, the things that I believed in, are still inspiring others to follow after Jesus Christ. And I can go through a list of names of people in history that have done that. Matter of fact, this past week, we celebrated a day called Martin Luther King Day, where a man went above and beyond. Has he outlived his life? Yes. I told my wife when I got home, because he couldn't listen to the radio without hearing his sermon, that man could preach, couldn't he? You say, well, I don't care. Listen, be colorblind and just listen. That man could speak. Can I tell you something today? If I die and nothing else happens because of what I've done in my life, then I wasted it. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not planning on dying anytime soon. But the truth is I want to make it a point that when I die, my little boy can still remember things that Daddy stood for that carry him through hard times. And I want to be able to say that when I get to heaven, that there are going to be thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands, maybe millions of people, because we reached one person, that God just continued a trickle effect through generations because we decided to love one. I believe that can happen. But that does not happen without a passion to love God more than anything else. Now, I want to ask you a question that's real tonight. Who is your first love? What are you the most passionate about? Are you trying to be the best athlete you can be? Is that where your passion is? Are you trying to build the biggest bank account you can build? Is that where your passion is? Are you trying to be the best mom or dad or husband or wife? Is that where your passion is? Because misplaced passion leads to burnout. Matter of fact, misplaced passion leads to idol worship. It leads to you seeking things more than you seek God Himself. The Bible says this, if you will seek God more than anything, then all those things will be added to you. Now, how many of you will be honest with me and say, you know what? I need to revisit how passionate I am about who God is to me. Would you slip your hand up tonight? I need to revisit that. Amen. Let me ask you this. When it comes to the cause of Christ, when it comes to the things that God has given you, are you the one that's working too much? Or are you the one that's working too little? Now, how many of you say, you know what? I believe I'm on the edge of burnout because I've given, 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 and I'm so tired. Anybody like that tonight? Would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Rest. Be still and know that He's God. Now, how many of you are on the flip side and say, I've got so much to give and I haven't given it yet? Would you slip your hand up? All right. You know what that means? It's time to get busy. And I'm going to give you the greatest opportunity to do that in just 1 minute. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand. We're going to pray and we're going to close. And your opportunity starts right there with what you do after that moment. If you've got something to give tonight, then who is it that you need to give it to? You need to find Him. You need to ask God like David did, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Would you stand, grab somebody's hand? Now, I do want to give you a little disclaimer as you leave tonight. Take it slow going home, okay? There's some spots both ways on McGuire. It's a little better if you're going towards the Asheville Highway side. Okay? It's a little worse if you're going towards 92. And if you can go the long way around, I'd suggest it. You might go sledding down the hill at 92. I don't know. But please, take it easy. We do appreciate you being here, but will you be praying? We've got so much going on right now. How many of you were here last Sunday morning when God just broke out and people just started making things right? People everywhere. Man, hey, listen, there are more of you than there are of us. And what I mean by that is there are more of you attending our church than there are people willing to serve in the church. Now, can I say that again? There are more coming in the doors than are willing to serve within these doors. What that shows me is this. If that ratio is so off within the church, then how much more off is it when we leave this church? If we need so much help in the church, then how much more help is the world needing than we are giving? Let's not let that be said of Grace Community Church. Amen? We're not those people. We are His people. And we are proud of that relationship. Let's pray. God, I love You. I thank You for the day that You've given us. And thank You for allowing us to be here tonight. God, I pray that You'll give my brothers and my sisters safety on the way home. God, help every one of them to find their driveways and their homes in safety and calmness. God, just get them, guide them, lead them there. God, I pray that You'll help us to become a passionate people. People that love deeply, madly, and truly. God, I pray that it won't just be the anthem of our mouth, that it'll be the anthem of our lives. That we will go out and just make it known that we love You. And because of that, God, help us to love others too. God, we thank You for all that You've given us. We praise You for all that You've done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.